First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the team I worked with in South Carolina, Dr. Ana Lopez-Defidi, who was a PI on this project, Lynn Phillips, John Stewart, Deborah Kinnard, Dr. Ubong Udoyin, and Wendy Gibson, Institute of Family and Society. Mycobacterium tuberculosis was described many, many years ago, and Hippocrates called it the wasting disease, and we've heard that term more recently in the context of HIV. Tuberculosis is said to kill a person every 18 seconds around the world, 35 million people a year, and between 2000 and 2020, 35 million people will die of tuberculosis. This is a quote from one of the subjects in our study. "From what I grew up knowing about my father having TB and the way he was treated, to me that very day being diagnosed was like the worst thing in the world that could happen. Some people compare TB with having HIV, but many people also said it's not as bad." TB in the U.S. has been with us for, like I said, many, many years. And if you'll notice, the rates have not changed significantly in spite of some of the work that has been done. In the early 90s, the funding for tuberculosis was cut short, and some of the reasons why some of the effects that you expect, some of the changes you expect in TB had not really come into effect. And you'll notice that even though the U.S. rates of TB are 4.8 per 100,000, in South Carolina, where the study was focused, the rates for TB are 6.1 per 100,000. Nothing will point out HIV is, tuberculosis is mostly found in, all populations, but you'll notice that blacks and African Americans, which I speak today, rates which are significantly high, and most of these are among native-born U.S. citizens, and that makes it even more interesting. If you look at the distribution of TB, and if you compare with black populations, African-American populations, you'll see it's located mostly in the southwest of the country. The age group most affected, over 65, and we know because of the age and being immunocompromised, that may be the reason for it. But we also see significant rates in the 45 to 64-year-olds, 25 to 44, and they constitute a quite significant proportion of those who are infected. And the rates are mostly also seen among men. About 70% of TB is found in men. When we think about TB, we often talk about the determinants of health, because TB risk is influenced by age, sex, and constitutional factors, individual lifestyle factors, social and community networks, and the living environment, the cultural environment in which people live and work. This research study, like I said, was conducted in South Carolina. The major research questions were, how does TB incidence influenced by sociocultural factors, and how is TB influenced by structural factors and policy factors? The larger study was a qualitative study involving 102 face-to-face semi-structured interviews, 28 clinical record reviews, and 20 key informant interviews, and GIS mapping 1,068 cases of TB over the period 1996 to 2004. And you'll see also in South Carolina there's a distribution of TB which is concentrated in the Northeast Corridor. And if you see again, the red dots represent African Americans that are distributed and concentrated in these areas. There's a small concentration up in the Spartanburg area, down in Charleston, in Columbia, and in the Northeast Corridor, where we see the majority of the cases. In this sample, all the participants had previously had active TB. Most had had pulmonary TB, but there were a couple of cases of TB in the hand, TB in the spine, and a couple of other sites in the body. 84% of the sample were African Americans, 30% were female. The average age was 50 years. 83% had a single diagnosis of tuberculosis. 26% reported having had latent TB previously. 30% only reported completing medication, and this is quite characteristic of TB. The present focus of this presentation will be on the African American women in the sample. There's 28 women, ages between the 18 and a couple of younger women. But the majority of the sample is between 24 and 65, 72 of them between 25 and 64. 85% had had a single diagnosis of TB, 15% had had two occurrences of active TB, 15% reported having latent TB prior to the most recent diagnosis. Face-to-face interviews were audio taped and transcribed in vivo. Each interview lasted between 45 and 90 minutes. This is a conceptual framework really to help the analysis of the data. And you notice that it's using a health sciences model, really. And the health condition or the medical condition is identified as one of the factors that contribute in the model. Sociocultural influences are also in the model and influence the process factors, the structural factors, which include the healthcare components and then I'll make recommendations towards the outcome. 54% of the sample identified coughing as the symptom of that they had. And the difficulty with that is that people don't necessarily associate coughing with a disease. Coughing could be with a cold or some other reason why they're coughing. It generally is not associated with tuberculosis. A lot had night sweats and difficulty breathing. We're talking about a population which is poor, living in very poor housing. And night sweats was not something they worried about. If it was hot, it was hot. If it was somewhere it was hot and they were sweating, it was not a big deal. You know, people sweat when it's hot. So they didn't necessarily identify night sweats and coughing with anything except that this was just normal. When it got to the point where they had difficulty breathing, then there was more chance that they would respond to the symptoms. And only about 18% identified fever. One of the things that most people associate with tuberculosis and is often talked about in the context of tuberculosis is coughing blood. And that's not something we found in any one of the respondents in this study. Other symptoms included weight loss and loss of appetite. 89% identify the symptoms as serious or severe, but you'll notice that they don't really necessarily take them seriously, because I just thought I had a cold and just, you know, take a little whatever across the counter, that it would go away, but it didn't. And once it doesn't, then they may respond to the symptoms, but it generally takes a while. Factors influencing response to symptoms, lack of insurance, and the cost of health care. Many of the respondents of this study came from the poorer census tracts of South Carolina, and a much larger proportion of our study were African Americans that came from those poorer census tracts. Well, I didn't have any kind of health insurance, was one of the responses. Yeah, but doctors are expensive. If it got real bad, then I'd know, I think there's something else wrong. Then I'd go. Employment status, I talked about the poverty in this population. Most of them worked in the low end of the spectrum, 30% in service jobs, 25% were unemployed or disabled, 11% worked in social services. Another factor that you see in context of TB is alcohol use. Incarceration is another factor that's often identified in the context of TB, again related to the sociocultural conditions under which a lot of poor people live and therefore susceptible to tuberculosis. Educational levels, again because of the poverty associated with it, 40% only had had less than a high school education. Knowledge of TB is something you would expect people to have after they've been through a course of treatment which lasts between 6 to 9 months. A lot of people say you can get it from smoking and all that. I don't know how you get it. This was always interesting to us as we went through that so many people, even after course of treatment, did not know much about TB. And this is another evidence of the fact that they still didn't know anything about TB. Whether this was related to their levels of knowledge and their inability to read the materials, we don't always know, but certainly the information within the community was very limited. Homelessness is something that's very hard to assess in this study, because African Americans generally don't talk about being homeless. They're never homeless. They'll sleep on somebody's couch, they'll move from house to house. But if you ask about homelessness, the answer is going to be no. And one or two males talked about being homeless, but the women did not identify as being homeless. Attitudes and beliefs towards TB. I think TB is something that runs down through the years and just sits there in the body, and all of a sudden you get it. And this is something that's for a long time has been thought to be hereditary, and it still continues even now, that people believe that it's handed down from generation to generation. Home remedies are still used. People think in terms of breaking up the cold in the chest and use home remedies to cure it. Castor oil and all that stuff, and some fish oil is still used in southern rural South Carolina when they have a cold. Everybody identified a parent, a grandparent, somebody in the family who had had TB in the past. 32% said they knew friends who had had TB. But having friends with TB or knowing that friends had TB is also a tricky one, because a lot of people don't talk, and you've seen them, and a lot of people don't talk about TB. They don't tell their families they have TB. They don't tell their friends they have TB, oftentimes, because of the stigma that's still associated with TB in the South. Okay, I'm going to have to rush. 18% did not tell anybody about TB diagnosis, and most only told their family. Stigma affected their jobs and their relationships. There was a poor understanding of the importance of disease containment, and talked about, you know, tell me to wear a mask. No, I'm not going to do that. It's not going to work. Structural factors. Testing for TB, respondents had varying experiences of being tested. The doctor wanted to give me a skin test, but I refused since I had a previous bad reaction. No, I didn't feel it was serious because the previous test had been negative, so did not expect it was going to be positive the next time around. Trouble understanding the diagnosis. Couldn't make sense of positive TB tests in the hand. The treatment delays that are often identified with TB and will result in incidental prevalence because, again, based on what I said earlier on, a lot of people don't respond to the symptoms. And it was from January to May where the treatment delays associated with both the individual and with the response to the symptoms from the medical setting. Misdiagnosis, again, resulting in inordinate delays. Treatment varied for this population between 5 and 10. The treatment for TB is generally between 6 and 9 months, and often up to 12 months or longer if people don't respond and are missing and they have to be tracked down. And you'll see where here a woman talks about the detectives going after her in order to make sure that she gets treatment, because it is a notifiable disease and it's required by law to be treatment. They get a lot of social support, both from the family and from the staff. And recommendations, again, going back to the model we had earlier on, and how do we then affect most of these factors in order to reduce the prevalence and incidence of tuberculosis? Develop culturally appropriate, systematic, broad-based, multifaceted approaches to information dissemination. This is still required. South Carolina has taken the step of doing more work since the study was done, and interventions are being designed. Well, I don't know what is TB, where it comes from, nothing. So you know I was just blindsided the whole way around this. This is somebody who had latent TB and would likely not complete treatment. Develop effective partnerships with the community and collaborate to ensure holistic programs that ensure social and economic barriers to health seeking and access. And we know a lot of this is related to poverty, and we'll see address issues of education and housing and all these. We really probably will not make much of a dent when it comes to tuberculosis. Create culturally appropriate, patient-centered, and outcomes-focused approaches. 15% of women in the sample had previous TB. Only 30% would have completed treatment, which means that 5% in the short term are going to get tuberculosis, and 10% in the long term are going to come back in a few years with active TB. Contact tracing and disease identification are critical. Improve disease identification and patient experiences of testing. Improve treatment completion rates for persons with latent tuberculosis. They made sure that I knew the treatment was optional, but encouraged me strongly. And this is unusual because quite often latent TB is not required by law. And very often if a patient just says, you know, I don't like the medication, it's making me feel sick, the response is, okay, you don't have to take it. And then a few years down the road, those same people get active TB. Make treatment completion mandatory. It seems to me that if we're going to eliminate TB, then treatment for latent TB has to be mandatory. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have the cycle where people are not going to get treated and will eventually get TB. The length of time year, I believe I honestly had it year because we didn't have any follow-up tests. You know, it was just recommended after that initial one that I take the medicine. They didn't try again to test it.